Thank you, Brother Tim. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 1. It is wonderful to see you here. We have a few extra guests with us this morning. I want to certainly welcome Brother Randy and his wife, Miss Margaret, our Director of Missions. Many of you may know them for their claim to fame as having the two most beautiful grandchildren in all of Portugal. So they're over here, and you can hear the confirmations to that. I've also noticed, by the way, that's an old title. The older they get and the more pictures he shows me, the more the region grows. I think it's all of Europe now. Their beauty is only growing. But also we have all of Brother Daniel and Miss Sarah's family here. And it's wonderful to have you here. They're here for a baby shower. So if you're so inclined to come and join them at 2 o'clock to 3:30 in the fellowship hall, they're going to have a shower for Philip Gilardo. Right? Isn't that the name we're going with? It was either that or Mattathias Ezekiel Abernathy Trent, which you could abbreviate as MEAT. And that would be his nickname. But I think they're old-fashioned folks. They like to pick their own names and not just have them thrust upon them. But it is wonderful to have all of you here with us this morning. We're going to be continuing our sermon series about how then shall we live as we come into this brand new year and we examine our lives of 2017 and examine the scripture and see how 2018 may be different for us as Christian individual believers, but how it also may be different for us as a church and how we live, how we exude our Christianity, how we speak and share the gospel to those who are in need. And today we're going to be looking at how we can live in a new hope, especially in these days and times where things are iffy. We are living, if you will, as far as the stock market is concerned, in high cotton. But if you look around the rest of the world, there are tumultuous times with North Korea and even some stuff with China. We're still dragging on with Russia, so things are still not in a time of peace. We're starting our 2018 like probably most years in previous times, some good and some bad. But if we are truthful, if we are going to be true to our calling, then there has to be not a change in the world, but a change in us. And so as we look at 1 Peter, we're going to start in chapter 1 of verses 3 through 12. So if you wouldn't mind, let's stand in the honor of reading God's Word. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Peter writes this, he says, "Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, uncorruptible, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You are being protected by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. You rejoice in this, though now for a short time you've had to struggle in various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more valuable than gold, which perishes though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You love Him though you have not seen Him, and though not seeing Him now, you believe in Him and rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy, because you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophet who prophesied about the grace that would come to you searched and carefully investigated. They inquired in that time with circumstances of the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating when He testified in advance through messianic sufferings and the glories that would follow. It has revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. These things now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Angels desire to look into these such things. Father, we just come to you and we pray that you would speak to us through your word, that you would transform us by its wonderful and awesome power. that we might live faithful servants transformed by your resurrected Son. And so, Father, as we search into the Scriptures, let us be changed. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. We'll be kind of sort of building off of what we looked at in Sunday school. For those of you who were not there in Sunday school with us this morning, we looked at the life of Paul as he was imprisoned for a brief moment and was celebrating and praising God, and an angelic earthquake, if you will, and prompted a moment in crisis of faith, if you will, if Henry Blackie, we might say, in experiencing God, where the jailer came in fearing for his life and looked into the cells, and Paul proclaimed to him that everything was the way it should be. And the jailer asked this important question, how can I be saved? And Paul pronounces in very simplistic terms that he needed to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he would be saved, and that through his salvation, salvation would come to his family. And we see that rings true in Acts chapter 16. If you don't have a Sunday school home, or maybe you haven't been to Sunday school in a while, let me just encourage you. No better way to start off your 2018 than joining some fellow believers in Bible study. Just the camaraderie, but also just being with people who are in the same circumstances and situations. And you might actually not believe this, but some things will stick with you. I remember when I was a junior in high school, and I remember these two things that my Sunday school teacher taught me. She said, if Jesus asks a question, you ought to answer it. And always put yourself in that person's shoes that Jesus is speaking to. Don't put yourself in Jesus' shoes. Put yourself in the shoes of the person that Jesus is speaking with. And I've always taken that with me, and I've always found insight in those circumstances. And so I hope that you'll do that. I hope you will find a Sunday school class. If you're not sure, I hope you'll come to talk to Brother Scott or myself, and we will find a place full of wonderful believers that would love to have you in there with them. But we are looking at this morning how we might live in a new hope. And Peter shares with us part of having that new hope is living in a new birth. We have been born again, if you will, into a living hope, Peter proclaims, which automatically sends us to that famous story between Jesus and Nicodemus, where Jesus looks into that Pharisee's heart and says, "You must be born again if you are entered the kingdom of heaven." And we see that wonderful story in John chapter 3. And so I remember putting myself in his shoes. And we often, for being born again is a phrase that you and I have grown up with. But for Nicodemus, that was a new expression. He'd never heard that anyone needed to be born again. He was a Jew and a Pharisee and a priest. He was born in all of the right times, in all of the right ways, in the right places. His heritage was a pedigree. And now Jesus is telling him he's got to be born again? I put myself in his shoes, and you know your pastor's a very strange person. So I began to wonder what it would be like. And remember, Nicodemus says, should I then crawl back into my mother's womb to be born again? And I began to think, what would it be like if men gave birth? I came up with 10 things that would be different if men were the ones to give birth. Maternity leave would be 2 years, full pay. There would be a cure for stretch marks. Natural childbirth would be unlawful. Morning sickness would rank as the number one health problem in the country. Only the ladies are laughing, by the way. All forms of contraception would be 100% effective. Children would be kept in the hospitals until they were fully potty trained. Men would be eager to talk about commitment. I don't know even about that one. Paternity suits would be a fashion clothesline or a fashion line of clothes. Men would stay in bed their entire pregnancy. I believe that one. And women would rule the world. I really think they do already, but that's another sermon for another day. But Jesus was telling us, and Peter reflects it and shares it back with us, that we need to be born again. That we have been born into a new birth. That reminds us that there was an old birth where we had born by very physical nature into a very physical world that has been condemned. It is rolling in the muck and the mire of sin, and we were born and tossed, if you will, headlong into these circumstances. And we seek a redemption. We seek an escape from it. And every world religion, even the Eastern world religion, seeks some kind of change in status. From those Buddhist monks who seek nirvana so that they might escape all the illusionary trappings of this world, to you and I as believers who cry out for a new birth, that we might be different, that we might be changed. And Peter shares with us that we are to be born again. But in order for us to be born again, we must understand a few things about this new life and new birth. The first one we see is that this new life was also, like the old one, born out of pain and sacrifice. Peter says we've been born again into a new hope provided by us by the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead. We know the story and we've celebrated it and mentioned it and praised it, especially at Christmas time leading to Easter, that Jesus Christ has come and given us everything. We looked at it that Christmas morn as we looked at Jesus Christ as the ultimate gift, who came wrapped in a manger, if you will, in those clothes, would raise and at 33 years old march headlong into the cross for our salvation, that we might have a chance to be born again, to provide the avenue for our salvation. And let me tell you, there was a lot of pain and a lot of sacrifice to get us to that point, to provide for us that which we could not do for ourselves, that which the Scripture says we wouldn't even think about doing for ourselves, that while we were at our worst or while we were yet sinners, He goes to the cross and dies for us. We have been born out of pain and sacrifice, very much in the same physical way, but also in a spiritual way. I'm reminded of a lady. She was newly pregnant, and she went to the doctor, and they were, you know, they had that little jelly and that little thing that goes, I don't know what that's called, whatever it is, and they squirt that jelly. And that doctor was just doing all over trying to find that baby in there. And she says, "When can I expect the baby to move?" And the doctor said, "Hopefully by the time he graduates high school." Hopefully. I say that to say this. To be born again out of pain and sacrifice is a moment in time meant to take us to a destination. Paul or Peter shares that with us. Born again into a living hope. Why? So then he gives a description of how our lives should be lived in that sacrificial moment. Too many of us sweet Baptists that sit in our pews on Sunday morning are still little babies who've not yet moved out of our spiritual homes. We're still banking on mom and dad's spirituality. We're still banking on the heritage and the things that they instilled in us, which were they were supposed to. But at some point, sweet Christian, your faith needs to be your own. Why? Because you need to be born again. And you need to understand what it took to get you to that moment. Those nails that pierced his flesh, that crown of thorns that was dug into his brow, and those last fleeting painful moments as Jesus gave everything for us to come to that moment. The next thing we see in order for us to be living in a new birth is that we need to understand that this new life is an imperishable inheritance and an objective standard. Two things that Peter shares with us ever so briefly is that in this new life, because of this new birth, because of what Christ has done for us, we have an imperishable inheritance. If for some reason you still deal with the guilt of your old life, or even the circumstances and the pain that carries over into your new life, let me assure you that is a figment of your imagination, because the inheritance that you have been given is imperishable, everlasting, unfading. That means that no matter where you have been, there's always new life. And new life has nothing to do with old death. Do not live with the guilt of 2017 when you have been told that this Heavenly Father loves you unconditionally, that He has given you imperishable inheritances, not silver, not gold, not even mansions in store for us in heaven will match the unbelievableness of standing at the pearly gates, if you will, and walking into His presence. And being able to be in that presence unhindered without any interruptions for eternity. Because that is His desire to be with you. It's not His desire to streak down lightning bolts and to punish and to do like so many people think of God as this Zeus-like figure. He has already given you too much blood. Too many tears and too much sweat has been spilled on your behalf. But let me give you the other side of that equation as well, is that He gives you an objective standard, because Peter says that He has given everything for you that you might be born again. But being born again, we need to understand that we need to live like the King is coming back. And that at any moment in time, we will be held accountable for the gift we've been given and what we've done with it. Because Peter is not writing to lost people about the second coming. He's writing to you and I in the pew, saying that one day, this King of glory who has shed and given so much for us will come and ask for an account. You, sweet person, have been forgiven for your 2017, and He is begging you to live righteously in 2018, because at any moment He can come back and say, what have you done with the blood that I have shed for you? What have you done with the grace that I have given to you? The next thing we see, not only are we living in a new birth, but we see that we should be and ought to be living with new results. Peter says that we are to praise, to glorify, and to honor God. And we should do these things not depending upon circumstances. Look at those again, if you will, in 1 Peter. To praise, to glorify, and to honor God despite circumstances. He says, even though now you are going through for a short time various trials, many of us struggle to worship, to glorify, and to honor God when things aren't going, and I will put this in air quotes, our way. We expect our lives to be easy. We expect our lives to be smooth sailing, and it's just not that way. Why? Because this world doesn't function that way. We have been thrown into a world of turmoil, of pain, of misery, of sin, and selfishness, and you cannot help but to walk out that door and be affected by it. To have circumstances thrust upon you, I can guarantee you, each one of you will have a various trial in 2018. Every one of us. Some will be big, some will be little. Some will be somewhere in the middle. Some of us will have way too many that we think we'll never be able to understand it, or even stand up underneath it. But Peter says we are to praise, to glorify, and to honor Him despite what is going on in our lives. Why? Because He has given everything for you, and you are no longer destined for a fiery pit. And guess what, folks? For here and today, you are no longer destined to defeat. He has come to give you a living hope. A hope for tomorrow. A hope for today. Not just a hope for sweet Beulah land by and by, but a hope for your Monday. A hope for those relatives. A hope for your checkbook for some of us. Hope for this life, not just the life to come. The next thing we need to see as we finish up together under living with new results is that our hearts begin to change through action. Verse 8, you love Him, though you have not seen Him. And though not seeing Him now, you believe in Him and rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy, because you have received the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I'm remembering this story of a young man. They had gotten some great playoff, high school playoff football tickets. One of those playoff games was going to be on Sunday. And so he and his two other friends had gotten their seats almost on the 50-yard line, about 10 rows up. Beautiful, wonderful seats. And by the way, if you've ever been to playoff games in high school, you can buy seats and stay all day long and watch endless amounts of high school football. And they had the best seats, wonderful seats. And they had an empty seat next to them. Their friend Bobby had yet to show up. One quarter into the game, he finally shows up. And they said, what took so long? And he said, I just couldn't come to a complete and honest decision of whether I should come to the game or go to church. And they said, well, what took so long? He said, well, finally I came to the point where I had just had to flip a coin. Friend looked over at him and said, this is the first quarter. The first quarter's over in a 20-minute game. That shouldn't have taken too long to flip a quarter. He said, well, it took me 145 times to get the right outcome. Many of you are going to feel on some Sunday mornings, maybe even some Sunday nights, maybe even some Wednesday nights, I can't come. I don't want to come. I don't feel like it. I don't feel close to God. But Peter tells us that in spite of our heart's desire in the moment, that if we will sacrifice and be obedient, our hearts will change. That if we go through the steps, if you will, even if we feel a little hypocritical, if we'll just take steps of obedience, then our hearts will follow. You and I, as believers in America, we often do it the other way around. We expect our heart to get right, and then our actions will follow. Let me give you this illustration, and we'll be done together. How many of you, growing up, when your parents asked you to clean your room, waited for your heart to be right with that chore before you cleaned your room? Show of hands. You waited for your heart. We've got testimony time here, folks. Your heart, you waited for your heart to be right. Kids, look around. Not a single adult has raised their hand because they just obeyed, because heart mattered sometimes doesn't matter as much as obedience. Let me share this brief, sweet word with you. Your 2018, God is looking for obedient servants. Your heart, there will be times your heart will not be in it. But God honors the sacrifice of obedience. And through obedience, our heart changes. Why? Because when we're obedient, we see God move. When we're obedient, we see God doing things. And when God moves and God does things, our hearts change. Our priorities change. We change. Many of us have spent our whole Christian lives just wandering around, waiting for change to happen without ever taking the first steps of obedience. I pray your 2018 will be different. What about you this morning? Have you been born again? Like Paul told that Philippian jailer, Believe upon the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Sign your life over to this King of Kings and this Lord of Lords who has given everything to purchase your salvation. And not only has He given you everything to purchase your salvation, but He has provided every bit to provide you a living hope. A living hope. Not a false hope. Not a hope of pie in the sky kind of mentality. But a living hope that lives where you live. That weeps where you weep. Have you been born again? Or are you trusting in the trappings of modern Christianity, of walking an aisle, saying a prayer, going into a baptistry, but yet never once have entrusted your life and your soul and your strength and your possessions and your loved ones to Him? And lastly, as we finish this morning, have your results changed? What you're producing in your faith different? Do you want it to be different? And let me assure you, as we walk hand in hand as Central Baptist Church into 2018, we must walk in obedience. That's my prayer for us. Let's stand and pray this morning. Father, we do come to You and we are so very thankful for what You have done for us in 2017. We are thankful for those that have come and gone into Your glorious inheritance and all that they have meant to us. Father, we're also thankful for what You have provided for us through Your Son, Jesus Christ. And as we look into the face of 2018, Father, it is this pastor's prayer that we would walk born again with new results into a living hope. So, Father, as we come to this time of decision, search our hearts. Speak to us in that still small voice and convict us of where we have failed You, where we have trivialized the grace we've been given. Bring us to You in repentance that we might be transformed and live obediently in 2018. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen. This is your time of decision. Who will you choose?